My name is Brian Mansky. I'm from Coon Valley originally, which is right outside of La Crosse. I grew up on a dairy farm, and then after that I joined the Army and went to a Ranger long-range surveillance unit in 2003. I was deployed fall of 2003 till spring of 2004. Spent time in northern Iraq along the border working with the Border Patrol guards. And I got out of the military in 2006 after injuries to my back and knee no longer would allow me to fulfill my position.
The U.S. has been talking about Syria for the good last year or two. But in the recent weeks, where it seems that the situation has escalated there, we hear about chemical weapons being used, the U.S. talking about becoming involved. What was going through your head during all this?
As far as the details surrounding who used the chemical weapons, if they used them, and whatnot, I'm never really that sure of, and it sounded kind of politically that they weren't sure of who used it either.
Because Syria says that they did not. It was the rebels.
Right. I had heard that Assad, the people that were winning the war, the people that supposedly used the chemicals, they basically said to the U.S., why would we use it? We're winning the war. Why would we want to bring Western intervention? And I'm looking at it like, why do we need to go to war again to kill people? Because they weren't killing people the way that we think they should be killed. So that makes us better. And then is this going to be another, you know, Operation Iraqi Enduring Freedom, those where the UN, the United Nations and the Congress and the people really weren't all for it and we weren't all in there, and that kind of didn't really jive that well with me then, and, you know, I don't want to see a repeat of that if it's unnecessary.
As a former member of the military, you know, when you're over there and you hear about the different weapons being used, and I'm sure you see everything, I mean, when you hear about chemical weapons versus maybe a missile versus a gun versus a knife, does that make a difference to the members of the military that are on the grounds?
Well, a bomb blowing you up versus a bullet mutilating you, probably killing you, versus gas that could, after a duration kill you, but you still have, you know, protection from that. So gas and that sort of stuff really was never the biggest concern. It was more of a bullet hitting you or a bomb blowing you up.
Was it more just because gas wasn't used as much?
Well, it wasn't used as much, but we also had trained heavily with gear to prevent ourselves from getting exposed or high exposure. And then after we were exposed, then we would just be transferred out and treated appropriately. And I'm not sure how many people we lost in the Iraq War from chemical gases being used on them, but yeah.
Have you talked with, you're a member of the Student Veterans Association on UWL's campus, correct?
Correct, I'm the president.
Oh, okay. So have you talked with other veterans on campus about the situation?
Yes, of course. Many kind of agree with me, and then some have the just nuke the whole place just on the generic theme of, you know, that's Arabia and apparently it should all be class. I don't really feel that way. I think that there is a political resolve to this and that eventually, you know, we could not be all about war and not having people in the military to the extreme level and to be spending the type of money that we do on the military. And, you know, I'm just not sure if it's really worth it if we could be putting it into some other ways that aren't antagonizing other countries to not like us because, you know, we are kind of the filthy slob of the world, some think, because we eat poorly and, you know, we take certain drugs or whatever.
When you hear President Obama say that he has not completely closed the door to military action, we'll see if Russia works with Syria in handing over these chemical weapons to the UN or any other international force. When you hear that, the military intervention could still be there. How do you feel? What are you thinking about?
Well, bombs cost money. To rebuild those buildings, we pay for. And, you know, the lives that we take, the casualties of war, the little kids that we don't want to kill with the bomb, but they just happen to be there. You know, if we can do a political nuclear or just a disarmament of weapons that we don't want them to use and they're willing to comply with that, then sure. Do we need to really do anything else? I don't really believe so until we are maybe really provoked to it. The big threat of, well, if they use it there, then they're going to use it here. Well, that's kind of benign in my opinion, but, you know, some people, that fear is so realistic to them, but we live under such a security blanket in this country that people don't realize. I mean, if you drive past a major airport or oil refinery or something like that, they're just so vulnerable. And you drive past them in Iraq, and they are just heavily fortified. And we have no real worries about that, or, you know, drive-bys. They don't happen around here.
Sure.
So.
What about this idea of no boots on the ground, which is something that President Obama has talked about? We would only be performing airstrikes if we were to go into Syria. Is that something that you think that the military could be held to, or would it eventually be one of those situations where people, soldiers, would eventually be on the ground?
I really appreciate the highly specialized people like the Navy SEALs, the Special Forces, you know, Marine Force Recon, Rangers that can go into a area like that very strategically, you know, just drop in from a plane or some CIA way of sneaking in and taking out those threats that they want to, instead of like an entire building with a bomb, you know. And if that's what those people are in the job for, that's what they want. If they get killed, then okay. But if we're talking about boots on the ground, as in, you know, thousands and thousands of people, not just six-man teams, you know, two-man teams going in and doing things, I don't like that. But if it's just small little operation little units that can do it, then that's what they're there for. If it can prevent bombs having to be dropped and massive invasion.
What else are you thinking about? How do you think that these next few weeks will unfold, or you know, as they're unfolding, what are you doing? Are you working with other veterans on campus and talking about this, or?
I'll keep up on it. And as far as how it unfolds, I mean, it could be another random thing like the Boston bombing, where it seems like we had all this ambition to go to North Korea, and then a bombing happened in our country, and we kind of, you know, that kind of went to the side. And now Syria's popping back up. Is there going to be another thing that distracts us from that, so that we give it time to settle and let it just work itself out? As far as, will we really have a huge push and start bombing places? You know, that's up to the president and the Congress and the vote and whatever. I don't really think it'll go to that. I hope it doesn't. Hope that they can be political and, you know, work a deal out with the United Nations. You know, maybe it's not just our U.S. voting and saying, let's go to war, and then just going to war. You know, just taking that and saying to the United Nations, hey, we're ready to go to war. If you guys want to go, it's on you, not us. Because that's what I thought the United Nations was set up for.